Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. For this episode, we have a conversation with Mark Peter. Mark is our worship director and leads our music ministry here at GBC. Some of the questions we explore together are, why do we even sing at church? To whom do we sing? What's the primary instrument when the church is gathered together? And why and how do we decide on the songs we sing? Music ministry is an important part of a healthy church. I hope this discussion will help explain some of the reasons for why we sing the songs we sing. Bible Church, looking forward to the conversation on this podcast episode. We have Mark Peter here with us, and we are going to explore the conversation, why do we sing what we sing at Gresham Bible Church? So Mark, let's just jump right in. For anyone that doesn't know you yet, before we jump into everything we're going to talk about, why don't you just give us an idea of who you are. What's something someone should know about you?
Well, that's a great question.
Can I share one thing?
Yeah.
You own an ugly sweater Lord of the Rings edition that's not ugly. It's actually awesome.
It's true. It's got all of the cast and character silhouettes and like little rings and elven script.
Yes, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
I also have an ugly Christmas sweater that has like palm trees and a dinosaur wearing a Santa hat.
Sure.
So I like my Christmas sweaters. Well, I've been at GBC since the November of 2011. So I've been around a while. And I started on staff at GBC shortly after we got here. So we came in November of 2011, and I think I was on staff by March or April of the next year.
Oh, wow.
And I've been leading worship since I was like 14 or 15.
Okay.
So I learned how to play guitar and played along with my cousin at our youth group at the church we grew up at. And it was a really valuable experience for me. Mm-hmm. I'm married to Elise, and we've got two teenage kids, Anton and Avery. What else do you want to know about me? I'm quirky. I've often had people say after they've known me for a while, I'm still trying to figure you out. To which I always say, thank you. So yeah, I don't know what else you want to know. I like roasting my own coffee. That's a hobby I enjoy.
Yes.
And I like to read and write, and music obviously is a big passion of mine.
Awesome. Okay. So quick follow-up question. What's your favorite type of coffee to roast?
Well, to keep that quick, I will just say currently I'm enjoying roasting coffees from Latin America.
Oh, okay.
So right now I am drinking some coffee from Guatemala.
Wow. Fancy.
But there's a longer version of that story that I'll tell you some other time.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I so appreciate you, brother. Looking forward to this conversation. Really hope our intent, we've been bouncing around this for a while, think it'd be helpful for our church to kind of have a peek behind the curtain a little bit, like in terms of what are our guiding principles about why we sing the songs that we sing. And there's a lot kind of baked into that question. So let's just jump in. So Mark, if someone's newer to Gresham Bible Church and they were to have the question, why do we even sing at church, right? Maybe someone's newer to the faith. They come, in what other setting in our society do we all just like get in the room and all sing together? Mm. So why do we sing when the church gathers on a Sunday?
Yeah, I'd say there are several reasons, but first and foremost is simply because scripture commands us to sing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are probably you can fact check me on this. There's probably over 50 references at least, like direct imperatives to sing. A lot of them are in the Psalms. But I would say, you know, it's instructive. It forms us. It's a response to God in worship, but it also is a way to stir our own affections to love and worship him more.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, so if someone comes to a church service, and again, I'm asking this question because we're kind of all like used to it, frog and boiling water idea, but maybe someone's newer to the faith, like what is happening here? All these people singing this.
Yeah.
So you would say, hey, it's commanded in scripture.
Yeah. And I would say even beyond that, like it's, again, Todd, you probably could speak to the church history aspect of this more, but I mean, singing has been a part of the church since before the Christian church was even formed. Like, so even the people, the Hebrews, you know, the Israelites, they would sing. I mean, Miriam led the people in a song, like after the Exodus. And then David would sing, you know, when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem after it had been in ruin for years and years. You know, they had a huge, very organized worship processional of singers and instrument players and stuff. So it's just been the pattern of God's people all along. And I think music is really powerful. It stirs our hearts. And so I don't know. It is weird. I feel like in modern day America, it's not very common to sing unless you're out for karaoke or at church.
Or at like a concert where everyone maybe might be singing the same song.
Or a baseball game.
Baseball game.
Ooh, nice.
Most places have, or most stadiums I've been to, there's one song after the seventh inning stretch that they'll sing. I remember Don't Stop Believing in San Francisco.
Sweet Caroline in Boston.
Oh, nice.
So there's
something about us, like, I don't know if it's an Imago Dei thing, that there's something communal about singing. And when you're doing it all together, sometimes people will let their inhibitions fly, even if they're not the best singer. The fact that we're all doing the same thing at the same time, the same words, it draws us together. And so to do it in those secular settings, I think we get a picture of that. But
I guess
what makes it different would be the frequency and probably the intention behind what we're doing.
Well, and I have friends, I mean, I have some of my staff that work for me are in India. And it's really normal to just be like, when they're hanging out with their friends, like, hey, sing a song for me. And I've heard that from people in other cultures as well, that to just share a song is not weird, or to even ask someone to sing you a song isn't weird. And here that would, I would be like, even I, who like love singing and I'm a musician, would be like, you want me to sing right now? And it would be weird and awkward.
Todd, could you sing for us right now?
I was going to say, in staff meetings, Jordan and I are going to be like, Mike, Mike, will you sing a song for us?
Amazing.
So good.
I was thinking of your Lord of the Rings sweater. Even Lord of the Rings, they break into song all the time to describe the history and what they're about to do and stuff like that, which would be similar to how a lot of songs in scripture are written. It's what's happened, or to look forward, or to remember, you know, who God is or whatever.
Totally.
Okay. So scripture points us, commands us to sing. It's embedded in us, on us, Imago Dei in some kind of way. I'm just trying to walk it back first before we press into it. Okay. So how about like when the church gathers on a Sunday and we're all singing, right? The room's filled with singing. Who are we singing to? To whom are we singing, would you say, as well? So I feel like I'm grilling you right now.
I mean, there, it's interesting. I think particularly probably since like the sort of Jesus People movement in the, was that the 70s, 60s?
60s, 70s.
When sort of like praise singing came about. And I think because those songs are simpler and I don't know, I started hearing things like you're singing to an audience of one when I was a teenager, like things like that, and maybe kind of in the modern worship music, and there's a lot of songs that use first person pronouns like I and me and my nowadays. And not that hymns or historic songs didn't, but I think it's more prevalent now. But first of all, I think we're singing to God. Some people would say, oh, well, it's worship because I'm singing to God. I also don't like that there's like a genre of music nowadays that's called worship music. And you pretty much know that it's going to sound like anything produced by one of three people in Nashville. So it doesn't matter who the artist is. It's all going to sound pretty much the same, in my opinion. And my
this
opinion
is why we like having you on the podcast.
My opinion is correct on this matter. But I mean, but that's not to say that those songs, that those worship artists who happen to have some national platform, you know, and are being recorded and selling their songs are, like, that's not to say those songs aren't valuable. We sing many of them at our church. But I would say to whom we sing is God in our response to him and what he's done in our life.
Yes.
But I would also say we sing to each other. And
I agree.
I think of, there's like two sort of parallel passages, but Colossians 3:16, which says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So there we're teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're being thankful in our hearts to God. So I think it's, we're singing to each other. So I'm the most guilty of wanting to sing with my eyes closed and just kind of like having this moment with God, this personal moment. But I think when we're gathered at church together, it's a challenge to me, but I think it would be a challenge to all of us to like sing with your eyes open and maybe even just like look around and like enjoy singing to your brothers and sisters and receiving what they're singing to you. We sing songs that have amazing truth, like in Christ alone, like I'm not singing that to God.
Right.
I'm singing that to, it's an affirmation to myself and I'm singing it to you.
That's good.
Yeah. That's so
good.
And
it glorifies God in us doing it. Yeah. Amen.
So we're singing to God in response to what he's done. So like worship, and even we see that like in the courtroom of heaven idea, right? God being praised. I'm just trying to capture what we're saying here. And then you're saying, hey, it's not only a me and God moment and God and I are vibing. We're also singing with and to your brothers and sisters in Christ in that moment. Is that an accurate like summary of it?
Yeah. And I mentioned there was a sort of a parallel passage, Ephesians 5 verse 19 says addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So Paul basically is saying the same thing to another church. And in that one, it's more clear. He's saying you're actually addressing these things to one another.
Yes. Yes. So when we can riff on this just a little bit. I've said this at church before on a Sunday, and I really mean it. One of the highlights for me when we gather on Sundays is singing with the fellow members of our church together. And as an elder, sometimes as elders, we know some things going on in people's lives, valleys they're walking through, afflictions, suffering, relational difficulties. And to hear those dear saints singing those songs to God, how can that not minister to me? And so I'm with you. I like to close my eyes too to focus, but I also like to look around the room and just to see one another and actually listen and hear one another sing. It's beautiful. It does something to us, or it ought to. So cool. So cool. I love, Todd and I have talked about this when we get up and get ready to preach. So we have the two songs, you know, service leaders, prayer, announcements, a third song. And that third song, as we're standing towards the front, getting ready to walk up to the pulpit, and you can hear the congregation all singing together, even in a middle school cafeteria that's not built for awesome acoustics, it just does something to us. It's amazing.
I would say too, even, you know, the worship team up front, as we're leading singing, a lot of us will prefer to only have one. We use in-ear monitors, you know, so basically like earbuds. They're nicer quality. But I will leave one out because I want to hear what's happening in the room. I don't want to be in some isolated sound studio. You know, I want to, I want to hear the people singing.
That's
Amen. Good. Amen. How about, one other aspect of that question, to whom are we singing? So we're singing to God in response to what he's done. We're singing with and to one another. What would you say if someone says, and are we singing to the world, to the watching world? Just thoughts on that?
For sure. I mean, especially when the watching world are people who aren't yet Christians and they happen to come to our church service. You know, there was a book, I don't remember. I don't even remember what I think about the book. I read it many years ago, but it was called Worship Evangelism. But I think that the idea of, you know, people witnessing Christians singing songs, like the unity in singing together, like, because it is, as we talked a few minutes ago, not super common to have people do that. But yeah, I think it's a really good witness. And even outside, I mean, like, maybe that's even a way in which, like, sort of the more commercial worship music that gets recorded and distributed, you know, like, people hear those songs randomly. Yeah. I mean, they might even immediately go, oh, that's a Christian song, and tune it out. But they're hearing it. And if we're singing songs filled with truth and songs that include the gospel message, like, that's amazing.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. How about thinking through with having this discussion, we're not saying, hey, Gresham Bible Church has it figured out. We're the only church that does this right. But we do want to kind of paint the picture about why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. How about for someone to notice, hey, you and your team that serve us every week by leading us in worship through music, you're not in the center on the at the front. Is there a reason for that? Thoughts there?
Well, to some degree, it's because when I showed up, that's how it already was. We were just kind of off to the side. But questions were asked about that. And, like, you know, would, because I've even talked with Caleb, who runs our sound ministry, about, you know, we would probably be able to get slightly better sound if the musicians were in the middle of the front. But because it's not about us, and we don't want people to, like, watch us play and sing as if that's somehow, like, because we don't want it to become a show, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's not to say people can't look at us, because I hope they will, because I want them to see us leading them. But yeah, we're off to the side because we're not putting on a show. It's not, and not throwing shade at anybody else, but I mean, we're not using smoke machines and lights and video backgrounds on our lyrics. Like, the reason that our lyrics are white text on black background is because it's the least distracting to just have the text there, and the words that we're singing matter. I don't want someone to be distracted by the beautiful waving wheat, or, you know, or to wonder why, like, why did they choose to put that graphic up behind this lyric? Cause I'm like, that's how my brain would work. I'm totally the guy that's always like, well, why did you choose to do that? Cause I like, my brain just goes to the details.
There's a church I served at in the past that it took a while of before we changed things, of the person who was in charge of music ministry, they worked so hard at this, but they would try to find a picture for whatever lyric we were singing. And it was so distracting, because it's like, all of a sudden you get a picture of, like, a kid holding a red balloon smiling. And then the next picture is, like, people holding hands, and the lyrics would be jumping around the screen based on where the picture was. So I felt like it was a scavenger hunt for one. But then there was one song that we sang that had to do with, like, I can't make something about pure joy or something like that. And the picture that was picked was a bear on its back that was taking a big sniff of a huge flower. And every time it came up, I just lost it. I was like, why is this on the screen right now? And I tried and tried and tried. And finally, we changed things to, let's just have the lyrics up there. That's probably enough. I get the intent behind, you want us to understand it, but man, you can, so that's why it's good that we're thoughtful. Like, you even saying that, that's good, because you can go the other way that it just would pull you and everybody else completely out of it, because we're wondering what funny picture is coming up next.
Yeah. And I'm not at all saying that I don't think that art has a place in a corporate worship service. So, like, I've been at either events or even church services before where there were people, like, doing pottery or painting a picture, or maybe, like, doing some interpretive dance. That's not really the flavor.
That's not really
the flavor of GBC, which is fine.
And the real reason why we're having this episode discussion.
It only took you 15 months to figure it out, Jordan.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, but I mean, so I totally think there's a place for art and as an expression of worship in the church. But again, like, I don't know, I heard someone say once that if they had a choice between a solo or a quartet, they would choose a quartet. And if they had a choice between a quartet and a choir, they would choose a choir. And if they had a choice between a choir and the congregation, they would choose the congregation, because the more inclusive of whole church in worship. And that's that is an opinion. I tend to resonate with the with that idea. But yeah, and I'd say that's probably informed. I mean, we don't do a lot of, we have done in the past some special music, but we don't really do a lot of that. I think there could be a place for it, maybe, but
yeah,
I'd want to be wise about how we did that.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, I'd love to hear you kind of unpack it or speak to it a little bit. What would you say, what's the primary instrument in a church service when we gather? You kind of hinted at it right there, but what's the primary instrument?
Yeah, our voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, the singing church, I would say. And so, that also informs, I'm sure that, you know, with as many people are in the room, you have every possible preference for volume level. So some people probably think we're too loud. Some are like, oh, it's so quiet. But I mean, it's not a concert. I want you to be able to hear the person next to you, even if they don't have like the best tune or even if tone.
People have to listen to me. Yeah.
But I think that's good because we're not perfect, but we are a body and we're working together and we're glorifying God together. And so, yeah. So I'd say, yeah. I mean, and even that's not just, I mean, we have some weeks, like 8 people up front on the music team. So it's not like we even just, that's not to say we're not going to have instruments and people singing.
Yeah. Or that you guys aren't going to practice to do your best either.
Totally. Yeah. 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 We have a midweek practice and then we get there early and run through all of our songs again. Mm-hmm. So just so that we know what we're doing, because we don't want to be a distraction either. Yeah. We want what we're doing to aid the church in singing.
I so appreciate how you lead us, how you lead your team to lead us, and just kind of even hearing you right now, I just am thankful as a member of GBC that my family and I are influenced by that type of just prayerful, humble intentionality of the gathered saints. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah. Again, this conversation go a multitude of ways. I'm still distracted by the bear story that you told, brother. That was amazing. Yeah.
I was trying to think of a good joke for that, but I couldn't, couldn't come up with one.
Yeah. Oh, that is, yeah. We're going to have to talk about that.
We can as much as you want to. That'll be cutting room floor of this podcast.
Okay, good, good. All right. So how about, again, we could go to a myriad of ways, but let's kind of focus for a few minutes on, someone could like nod their head. Yeah. That's good. But then why do we sing what we sing in our church? Seems like this day and age, there are so many good options, right? So many songs that have come before us, so many songs written now. So you have to have some guiding principles or some filters to help us decide why we sing what we sing. So Mark, maybe just kind of like paint the picture for us on that. Why do we sing the songs we sing at Gresham Bible Church?
Yeah. We have sort of a matrix that we run any song that we sing through. Is it beautiful? Is it true? And then this isn't like written down anywhere, but I know you and I, Mike, have had a lot of conversations about this. And I think probably even in our service planning meetings, we've said this, but like, is it wise or is it timely? Like, is this song helpful to our church at this time? So an example of when that might not be wise is if a song, because of maybe where it came from or who wrote it and maybe their current situation in life. Mm-hmm. If that's like really public and a lot of people know about it and it's distracting, then I might be less inclined to pick that song. Now, I might still choose to sing it because I don't always think that we should just shy away from things that are uncomfortable, like someone who maybe has said they don't believe in Jesus anymore, which is super sad. It doesn't make the song not true or beautiful. And I think if it's fitting, you know, for the moment, I'd at least consider using it.
Is there a part of beautiful? Well, where does singable for a corporate body, is that another indicator? Because there's lots of beautiful songs that are kind of hard for people to sing.
That's good.
Is that another consideration in there?
Yeah. Good question. It is. Yeah, that's a good one. I'd say that probably also falls under sort of like wise. Like, is it helpful? Like, there have been songs that I've tried to introduce in the past and have never done them again because it just didn't, I don't know. I mean, maybe because stylistically it just didn't fit well for our church or, it was hard to sing like songs that are really syncopated and like, aren't like just, I don't know if you've experienced this. Sometimes you're singing along with something and you're like, feel like you're just getting the like, ah, I think I can anticipate where I'm supposed to sing next. And then it doesn't do it. And you're the only voice standing out. That's happened to me before. And it's weird. So yeah, no, I think you're totally right. Singable. It would be a good thing to include in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it beautiful? Is it true? And is it wise or timely? How do we define what beautiful is? Because different people probably think different things are beautiful. Just what do you think on that?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind about that is just diversity. Like if you look at all the different people in our church, while we're not maybe like the most ethnically diverse church or culturally diverse church, you know, of all the ones out there, we are a diverse church in that like every person has their own background, their own preferences, their own, you know, music genre that they prefer to listen to. Some people like U2, some people hate U2. Those people are wrong.
And they're not at our church anymore. Josh Howitt, that's up.
Yes. But yeah, so yes, I mean, I don't know.
Sorry, just the obligatory, we just had a siren go by.
Yeah.
And that's the count of pretty much 98% of our
people
podcast
coming
episodes.
For Mark's hot takes.
That's yeah. Right.
Hot take, hot
that's
take.
Right. They're coming to take me away. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. So, I mean, it is totally subjective. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine, but that someone could maybe look at a sunset and just be like, eh. But I think but I also do think that most people probably know when they see something beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I think that makes me like trying to be a mind reader when I'm picking songs that I think are beautiful. But I do, I do think singability is part of what makes something beautiful for the purpose of corporate singing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like if I want to listen to something like really technical and not easily singable on my own time and worship God because of it, because it's so cool and awesome and beautiful and has amazing words, like that's great. But I think for the church, you know, singability is probably part of that. Is it beautiful? Yeah. I think like a song that maybe has words that are clunky, like there's good poetry and bad poetry out there in the world. And some worship songs have bad poetry. It's also a subjective thing to say.
Sure.
But yeah, I guess so. I would think of it kind of as just a category of like, and maybe even just like, do the majority of people in our church seem to enjoy singing it? So like we've, you know, that's try good. A song two or three Sundays. And if people don't, if it's just kind of like, I don't feel like this one is, you know, hitting the mark, maybe we just won't do it again. Even if it's a song I love or a song that fits really well.
Yeah. How do you measure that? Is it like the number of people who come up and complain? Or
That's a
like is there a squeaky wheel gets the grease sort of thing here? Like if you really like a song, you better go tell Mark and so we'll keep singing it. Or are you able to see and look and evaluate? What are you looking for?
Well, I try to be really careful when I'm looking out at like expressiveness of people in the congregation, because I think there was a time when I probably would have maybe immaturely judged people's like ability to worship God in spirit and truth by whether or not they felt free to like raise their hands or something, which is, that's not, I don't think that's a valid indicator of like your spiritual maturity or how much you love God.
Yeah, I hope not.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean,
my hands are firmly in my pockets every Sunday, but I'm singing as loud as I can.
Totally. Yeah. You know, or even someone who maybe I happen to know their personality because I know them personally and they're sitting there like fairly stoic, like, but I know that they're pretty stoic all the time. Now, if you're like animated as a person most of the time, like a pretty charismatic person, and I know that you get up and get all like shouting at the TV during your sporting events that you're watching, but then at church you look like everything is ho-hum, that's going to make me wonder a little bit. But again, I try really hard. Like, I'm not the Lord. I don't know what's going on in your heart of hearts. But yeah, so I would say there is a tiny bit of that, you know, in praying for discernment. I do rely on the other people in the music team a lot for like, what do you guys think about this song? Like, especially I'll ask some people like maybe who weren't leading that week, but who were just out in the congregation, like, how do you feel like that song landed?
Yeah.
That's like, great. Was it a, did you think it was helpful? Did you like it? Was it too slow or too fast? So I ask for that. And here's a funny, going way back to your very first question, Mike, something people should know about me. I love slow songs and I am regularly teased by the music team for starting songs too slow.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah. But to, Todd, to your point, though, I don't, you know, I very rarely hear negative feedback, which I feel blessed by. I don't know if that's because people are just kind to me and don't want to hurt my feelings because they know I'm a super sensitive boy. I mean, but there were times even back.
Well, I would tell you that, but I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Right? So, yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. Well done. Yes. I mean, there were times in the earlier days when Virgil, who was our first lead pastor, would let me know like that he got some feedback about a song and like, and maybe whether, and then we would talk about it and like, yeah, maybe that's actually because that lyric is a little more poetic and maybe a little harder to understand. Like maybe it's not helpful to sing. Cause if people have to stop and be like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. or whatever. I mean, there are other times where I think if something's true and people have to stop and think about like, what does that mean? That's no different than hearing some truth in a sermon and having to stop and be like, what does that mean for me? Or what does that mean at all?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But yeah, so, but I do get positive feedback too. I mean, when I hear, you know, from people that they love certain songs, like I'm inclined to want to include it, not because I'm a people pleaser, but I'm like, oh, well, if I've heard like from four different people that they all love this song, like, cool. Like maybe that's a good song that's timely for our church right now.
That's good. I really appreciate even hearing you right now in this moment talk about it is healthy and good, that it's not just you and your opinion. And we'll kind of give further example of that here in a minute and talk through how we service plan, right? We do this in community together. But specifically on the point of, is it wise or is it timely, just to give people like something to hang their hat on in that. I know I refer to this verse way too much, but I think it's so helpful. 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock among you. Mm-hmm. So we are not prayerfully designing an order of service or songs for some church in Iowa or Honduras or wherever. We're doing it for Gresham Bible Church. Mm-hmm. And so we need to shepherd the flock here. Doesn't mean we, you know, go to the lowest bar possible and everybody's comfortable all the time, but we are accountable from like an eldering perspective and shepherding perspective to shepherd the flock. So our focus and intent is shepherding Gresham Bible Church through the songs we sing and why we do what we do. So just to kind of flesh that out a little bit. All right. So how about for the 2% of our church that's interested in this question, but here we go. How do we pick the songs that we sing on a particular Sunday? So let's just kind of walk it back and kind of outline how we do what we do. So I'll get the ball rolling. Then maybe Todd, Mark, you guys
it's
can bounce
around.
It's the
magical sorting hat, isn't it?
Is that it? Yeah. The sorting hat.
Is it casting lots? Option A.
Oh, man.
No, like, okay, so we have a monthly service planning meeting. Mm-hmm. And then, Mark, I'm going to throw the ball to you across the room. What do we do at the monthly service planning?
Yeah, so a monthly service planning meeting, we will look at the, well, I guess to back up a tiny bit, you and Todd and maybe the preaching team. I actually don't know how you do this. Maybe you could say.
Oh, I'll speak to it.
But you
quick.
Come up with kind of the preaching calendar and like sort of what we're going to be preaching through for the next number of months or so.
Maybe I'll answer that real quick.
Yeah,
and that'll probably be a future podcast episode, actually.
Sweet.
So as the lead pastor, I'm responsible for coming up with a preaching calendar, but we do that in a plurality of elders. So I kind of run point on it and kind of do a rough draft, pull some stuff together. We're trying to think very thoughtfully about the pulpit of our church. So we want to preach from across the Old and New Testament. We want to preach the full counsel of God, different genres, different books, play off one another or foundational for other pieces into it. So Lord willing, if someone is a member of Gresham Bible Church for years, they are going to hear the full counsel of God preached at GBC. There's a lot more that could be said to it, but that's it. We try to have the calendar built a year to a year and a half ahead of time. So we know what we're doing ahead of time, planning purposes, all of that. So yes.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And yep. you do that in like a shared spreadsheet that I have access to. So yep. when we do our service planning meeting once a month, we'll basically look through that and see mm-hmm. what the upcoming passages are. When we start like a new series or a new book, which is, it's usually through a book. Sometimes it's part of a book if it's a shorter seasonal series or something, but we'll basically come up with some main overarching themes for the whole series yeah. and maybe even some songs that could be theme songs that we might do a little more frequently throughout it. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, I'm blanking on the series.
We did Behold Our God for
Behold
Isaiah.
Behold Our God. Yep. Yes. Thank
Isaiah
you.
Isaiah 40. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's yep. a perfect example. So we sing, yeah, I mean, we all love that song. I think that's a good example of a song our church loves. And yeah. you can tell by the fervor with which people mm-hmm. sing it that it's one we love. But yeah, that's a great example. But then we go week by week through the passage. We'll either read it in its entirety or if it's mm-hmm. a really long one, maybe just kind of summarize it. And like pick out the main ideas and, you know, typically Mike and Todd are doing most of the preaching. And so they maybe have an inkling of an idea where they're going to go in their sermon. And so to know even like maybe where an application point might be, mm-hmm. or something from the text, you know, you're going to address in your sermon mm-hmm. because there's this thing that's going to have implication.
Yep.
Yeah, so that informs, I guess, like the themes and maybe even like the mood or tone of the songs that we sing. Like there are weeks when it's a heavy passage, and so maybe it's appropriate to sing a lament or mm-hmm. something that's more mm-hmm. confessional, like
yeah.
in which, you know, and because the whole counsel of God's word says, you know, has all of these things, lament and confession and praise and
joy, thanksgiving.
Joy and thanksgiving. Yeah, thank you. Praise. There you go. Yep. Me and my slow songs. I like all of the dirges as well. But yeah, thanksgiving and praise.
Got like Elton John is our songwriter here. That's the sad songs. Yes.
Yeah. That's why it's good we have other people on the music team with me. Yeah. So then we'll just, you know, I mean, we have, I guess we don't have a hymnal really, but we use Planning Center for mm-hmm. our service planning. And we've got the list of all the songs we do, which I review from time to time. And if there's songs that I'm like, I think that song has run its course and maybe it's just like we're bored with it, mm-hmm. like then it's not helpful to sing. And sometimes it's mm-hmm. cool to bring an oldie back, like, mm-hmm. you know, a song from the 50s or a song from the 80s. Mm-hmm. Oldies, I say. you know, a song from the 2000s.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
I love our service planning
yeah.
meetings. So for anyone who's interested, again, it's probably a small percentage of the church, but kind of how things fit. So the Office of Elder is accountable for the shepherding of GBC, and that includes our weekly Sunday gatherings. Mm-hmm. So kind of flow chart it, right? And then it goes to who's in this role. And brother, you do a great job leading our music ministry. So we try to tie it in with the texts that are preached because we're scripture central to all we do is our first yep. distinctive. So the yep. songs that are sung on a Sunday morning should be in alignment, I guess I would say, with the text that's going to be preached in terms mm-hmm. of the big idea and how it fits in the story arc of scripture, big idea of that book and the text and the context. And I love you brought up the tone because mm-hmm. that should fit. Lord willing, the members of Gresham Bible Church are going to leave that weekly worship service. I think it's John 12:21 where it says, "Sirs, show us Jesus." Hope our church saw, loved, worshiped our triune God and the hero of scripture, Jesus, right? The gospel is a takeaway and the songs help accentuate God's word doing the work in all of those different like flavors and colors and textures and all of it. So yeah.
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 I don't know if this, if I can kind of like go on a like little side trail, but we'll jump right back
those
to the
fun.
Main path. But that makes me think too of like the idea of, I mean, we've talked about how music is powerful and it like can really affect us. I'm aware of that. And so I try really hard to make sure I'm never picking something that's going to be manipulative.
Yeah.
Because music, I mean, like you think of like a film score composer,
oh, yeah.
like literally their job is to make music that will cause you to feel mm-hmm. what's happening in the scene of the movie.
Yep.
Great.
And
point.
Like, that's awesome and it's great. And that's its purpose there. I don't think that's the purpose of music on Sunday morning, is to like manipulate. I think to usher in like joy with a joyful song or something like that, to help facilitate it is cool.
Yeah, facilitate, to facilitate, let us give voice to what should be arising in us.
Totally. Amen. Yeah. I mean, that's that can be a fine line. And so like, part of it's my own heart. Like, so I'm always praying like, Lord, like just let this be, you know, helpful to the church and for your glory and not, you know, because I think this would be so cool. You know, or because I want this to happen. Like I try really hard not to have my agenda in there. And I mean, I'm not perfect, so I'm the leader. So my preference does come through sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
But then I have people on my team that are like, we do too many songs at 68 beats per minute.
We do too many songs in 6/8 time. Where's the 4/4 rock beat?
No, I appreciate you speaking to that, because music is powerful and worshiping together does something to us. It's formative in some ways. And so, yeah, amen. Todd, it should capture what's rising out of us with the spirit in us, but we're not trying to manipulate emotions for a desired outcome, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which when we say we're an honest church, there's a lot baked into that. That's one manifestation of it right there.
Yeah, is that. Totally.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, you mentioned our distinctive of scripture is central to all we do. So, I mean, we do like the lyrics of songs, like the songs that are in our virtual songbook. I mean, like we've vetted the lyrics of those songs because we don't want to sing something that's either not true or is maybe cloudy, but cloudy and like hard to understand, especially if there's a different song that says it more clearly, because if the point is that we're instructing one another, admonishing one another, in our singing, then I'd rather sing a song that doesn't create confusion or doubt about the meaning when we could say it more clearly.
No, I'd hope people find this conversation helpful. I think it's important when you're a member of a church to understand, hey, why do we do it this way? Again, not saying this is the only way or we have it figured out, but I hope people can hear kind of our foundational principles, our ministry philosophy in a lot of how the Sunday morning service is done and why we do what we do. I've had talked with people who visited our church, maybe family or friends one time, like, wow, that was so cool. The songs like totally fit with the sermon. And it's like, yeah,
crazy, huh?
And so I don't think that's like sub spiritual. That's not, I mean, we're not trusting the spirit in the moment, but like planning, God's wired us and created us as thinking, feeling, being. So for us to be intentional in our planning, I hope honors Jesus and blesses our church. Yeah. So, yeah.
So speaking of, if I can ask another question here, speaking of like, say a person visits and there's a lot of churches where the music is, it's really loud, where part of that is to create, I think, cover for people to, so they can express themselves in song and almost like a private worship moment. But our music is not that loud. Why are people going to hear a volume level at Gresham Bible that might be different than other places?
Yeah, good question.
Well, on the one hand, I think specifically kind of what we already talked about a little bit with just, we want to be able to hear the congregation. Mm-hmm. Like if the church is the choir, if the church is the main instrument, then we want to hear the main instrument. And that doesn't mean I'm only hearing myself. So like if everybody came to church with like, you know, what are those huge headphones they were like when they're like the airplane traffic controllers, you know, and they've got like these super noise canceling headphones on. I mean, like that, even if you could get over like how that looks, like that's just weird. Like all you're hearing is your own voice in your own head and not the people around you. But we're together. So by nature of being together, you should, I think, you should hear who's around you. So I think that's part of it. Part of it too is, I mean, being considerate to, I know we have a few, and this is specific to our context, but I know we have a few people at our church who, when the volume is really loud, it actually like adversely affects them physically. So there's some consideration for that because we love our brothers and sisters and want to accommodate where we can. Were you hoping I would say something else?
No, I was just trying to, I just want people to know that there's a lot of thought that goes into this.
Yeah. There is.
And it's not a, and it's, It's not an attempt to manipulate, as we've been saying before, but how do we accomplish what the Lord instructs in Scripture for us, which is always in our best interest. It's always for our good.
Amen.
And so it doesn't just happen, but there's thought and strategy, even like how loud the music is, mm-hmm. when we sing what songs we sing and what songs we choose to sing as well. And, mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And even, I mean, there's even thought in the musicality of how the musicians play, like we've talked, we're probably not mindful of it every single week or have a discussion about it every single week. But there are times when we're practicing on our Thursday night rehearsal where we're like, maybe we should give it a little bit more space here so that musically there's not so much busyness happening with the instruments so that there is space to hear the voices ring out here. Or like, you know, we'll do an a cappella verse of a song or a final chorus or something. Cause I just think that's powerful to hear everybody sing it. And it kind of, I don't know, at least to me, I love that. Mm-hmm. I hope other people do.
Yeah.
Are there times that you like hold back musically because you think it would be almost distracting?
Mark would be shredding if he could.
Well, no, this is the kind of question.
If I could is exactly the key point there. I'm not much of a shredder. I think there are times, I don't know that it consciously happens too often, but there have been times when during services, it's like I become kind of aware there's like something special happening in this moment and we'll kind of pull back a little bit. Mm-hmm. The band they're all really good at following and like listening to each other. Like, and that's something that we've tried to work on, but, and again, not because we want to be like, you know, $500 a ticket entertainers, you know, but we don't want to be in the way. We want to facilitate and help, support the singing.
I love it.
Two-part question real quick. How important is a key change in a song? And two, are you willing to commit that every song going forward will have a key change at Gresham Bible Church?
Whoa.
I think we know that Jordan likes key changes. Yes.
On what sort of scale should I rate this? 1 to 5?
Sure.
1 being like not important and 5 being I die over it.
Yeah. 5 being yes, it should be in every song.
I'd say 2 for a key change like being important. And I will not commit to there being one in every song.
Oh, fine. I tried church.
I do love key changes. I know some people don't. I won't say any names.
If you're wondering, Jordan did not walk out in protest.
I did not. I don't mind a key change. I feel like there was a period in the 90s that every song had a key change in it. Yeah.
Well, and sometimes I think it is cool. Like if it can like add to sort of like opening up the sound and like maybe becoming more majestic. Like there's one song, what's the song we do where we do a key change? My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. We do more than one song.
Go ahead and sing that with the key change.
I will not. I mean, we do more than one song that have key changes in them, but that one particularly, I love where the key change happens because lyrically it actually goes with what's happening lyrically. Yeah, it becomes this more open, majestic, slightly louder and different, I don't know, musically, like different keys actually like have different sonic qualities and some actually sound nicer. Like you could play the exact same song in a different key and it would just sound different.
Yeah,
that's good. How about Mark, what have we not covered that we should? Is there anything specific you just feel like would be helpful for our church or maybe future people that serve on the music ministry team? Just want to give you an opportunity to speak into anything at all. For example, will Jordan ever play the saxophone? Things of that nature.
It's been a while.
I'm aware of a few people at our church who can play the saxophone.
What?
I also will not name names now on this podcast.
That'll be in the show notes.
You know, here's what I would say. I mentioned diversity when it came to like beauty. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this before, but I love the body of Christ. And I love like when I see all people serving. Like, no matter who you are or what your ability is. And so one of my goals for last year was to get some young people on our team because they're part of the body. And I want the people on the music team up front to be a good representation as a cross section of our whole congregation. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I would love it if there were some older people that wanted to be involved too.
Awesome.
You know, and so, and I know that even that could, with diversity, could also mean like the music styles could be slightly different. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we see that when other people lead, like when Summer or Anthony or Danny leads, mm-hmm. you know, on a week or someone else.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got kind of their own style. And I love that. I think it's great. Like those weeks, I mean, sometimes they lead because I need to be out of town or I'm sick or something, but sometimes they just lead so that I can have a Sunday off. Yeah. Yeah. And I love being in the congregation when someone else is leading and I just get to experience like singing together with the church from your side of where things are. But I also love being up front every Sunday because I do get, like you mentioned earlier, you can like look around and see people and I'm like, yeah. I know that person had a hard week and we're singing this song about like God's faithfulness mm-hmm. and how powerful is that, that yes. I get to see it. Like mm-hmm. it's a testimony to me. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that other people will see that too.
Yes.
So don't just sing with your eyes closed
your takeaway,
my big takeaway.
Yeah. Brother, I so appreciate you personally, pastorally. I hope people can hear your heart in this. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important in the life of a healthy local church that we are scripture central to all we do. The gospel's on display, and that should reflect itself in what we sing, how we sing, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Thanks for being here for this conversation. If Gresham Bible Church, two things. I know I'm not supposed to address you like in the third person on the podcast, but here we go. One, please tell your brother Mark thank you for how faithfully he serves in the life of our church. Two, if you have any questions about all of this, like reach out to Mark. I know he'd love to talk to you about it. Reach out to me. This conversation is a really important one, not just for like Gresham Bible Church right now, whenever you're listening to this, but also in the future too. Like it's important in the life of a healthy local church. So we want to talk about it. These guiding principles and values and all this kind of stuff. And Lord willing, if Christ tarries, that in the next generation of Gresham Bible Church and or any other churches that are planted from Gresham Bible Church or missionaries that are sent, like this stuff really does matter. And so we want to talk about it and socialize it and all of that stuff. So yeah, thanks for listening. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. Any questions, again, first reach out to Mark in person, or if you want to send me an exciting email, you can do that at mike@greshambible.org. All right, until next time, love you, Gresham Bible Church.